Greet you once again in the worthy name of Jesus, again this morning. I've been blessed already this morning. The leading of the songs that were led, the message that was given to us. As I think of the message the Lord has laid on my heart as I was pondering this week, and as a minister preaches night after night, morning after morning, and you come to the weekend, you wonder, what should I cover? Where should I go? What else should I speak about? Yes, Lord, where do you want me to go? And I was pondering upon another message and for this morning, and Lord just didn't seem to take me that direction. So I switched messages last evening and got up this morning and switched it again. Finding acceptance. What if, young people, what if you found acceptance? What if you know where you stand and you know where you're at and you're finding peace and you find this acceptance and you're on the road and all of a sudden the world crashes in and down on top of me. And you find out where I'm at. Where's my acceptance? Why ain't I being accepted, and why is it the catastrophes around me? Where do I go? How do I find help? What's going to happen to my life? And our props are knocked out from underneath of us. I've titled the message, Stability in a Restless Culture. I'd like to speak to the front of the building here today, this morning, the front of the auditorium, from about halfway front to these young people. The older people can listen. But the burden of this message is, it's not the culture out there. It's a culture right here. That these young people, you young people, are going to find that you're going to find instability here. And as I look across the church, and I don't know, maybe there's a young person here that's in a wrestling culture at home church. Churches in rocks. Fathers and mothers are at each other. There's no peace there. There's no security there. There's no stability there. And here I am as a young person. And far too many times in church struggles, the young people are the victims. Because they've lost their acceptance and they've lost their stability. And shame on us as older people. Shame on us sometimes as leaders of the church. And we forget these young souls that are trying to find acceptance. And they found it, and we've knocked their props out from underneath them. I'd like to give you some direction this morning. As you're in this rut. You're in this instability air. And you're trying to find stability in a restless culture. Stability is a condition of being stable, steadfast, steadiness, consistency, standing firm, resisting change. Restless is having no rest, never quiet, uneasy, consistently seeking, changing, discontent. That's restless. A culture is a given people in a given period. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. I want to take a character study this morning. We want to find some stability in a man that was in a restless culture. Even though we think, no, this culture that Daniel was in was an ungodly culture. I understand that. But brothers and sisters, we're in a culture of a church struggle, and we're in a culture struggle, and we're in chaos among, and rocks are flying, and words are spitting out, and we're trying to find stability. I'm sorry, it's just in the same culture. We might be so-called Christians that are doing this, but it's still in the same culture. We find here some points, and I've come up with 7 points that we can find stability in a restless culture. Daniel The name Daniel means God is my judge. And our brother Joseph shared that as he closed the message of where we're going to find acceptance. That God is our judge. We're going to find acceptance only in the way that Jesus wants us to find acceptance. Let's read the first chapter here. I'm going to look at most of the book of Daniel. But first chapter really shows the character of Daniel. As we look at, we know the story, but the reading of the word does us good. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Sinar, to the house of his gods, and he bought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Aspenaz, the master of the eunuch, that he should bring certain of the king of the children of Israel, and the king's and the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provisions of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the princes of the eunuch gave name for them, gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and unto Mishael Meshach, and unto Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the princes of eunuch that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love of the princes of the eunuch. And the princes of the eunuch said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your face, whose likening that then the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king? Then said Daniel unto Melzar, whom is the prince of the eunuch, had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding of all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the princes of the eunuch bought them before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all manners of wisdom and understanding, that the king inquired of them, that he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all the realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of the king of Cyrus. Young people, this morning, the burden of this message is, if I can salvage 4 young people out of this group, that they might be in a restless culture, and that they can stand before a holy God, that God is my judge, and stand there and found in them that there's none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. There's just 4 of them here. That's worth the whole message. Point number one. Stability in a restless culture is to have a relationship with God. We're in this restless culture, but where is my relationship? We find here in Daniel chapter 1 verse 4 that as the king sent out the message that you go out there to Jerusalem, you go out there to those children of Israel, and he says, "And I want you to find the smart ones. I want you to find the ones that have high wisdom, and they understand, and they had understanding of science and skillful in wisdom, that know what they're talking about. I want you to go out there and get them." And among them were these four young people that understood what it was to have a relationship with God. They sat in dad and mom's table and they understood what the law all meant. They knew what it was. They had a personal relationship with God. They couldn't have went to the fiery furnace without that. They couldn't have went to the lion's den without it. They knew how God worked. They knew how God operated. They knew how what God could do in their lives. They knew that as they were traveling that track from Jerusalem to Babylon. They understood it all. It's point number one. If we're going to find young people, if we're going to find stability in a restless culture, we need to have a relationship with God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Keep your fingers at Daniel. We'll be jumping back and forth here. Ephesians chapter 3. See what New Testament says about having a relationship with God. For stability in a restless culture. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. That's our answer. That we may dwell with him. Relationship means that I dwell with him in verse 17. I dwell with your hearts by faith. It's not feelings, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. It's a relationship that he knows love. That love passes all under all knowledge. It's love. And last one is in verse 20, is that relationship with God experiences power. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that is able. We dwell. We have a relationship with God. It will produce a reverence and a godly fear. My brother brought that out already in the beginning, the message of finding acceptance. As we come before a holy God and we fear a holy God because of who he is in reverence, that we can say, keep thy heart pure. Keep thy heart pure. It's only going to be a pure heart amidst a restless culture is that we have a burning relationship with a holy God. Point number two. Stability in a restless culture is a purpose in his heart. Daniel came from Jerusalem. Daniel came as a children of God. And he came to Babylon. And as he was going, I can just imagine, I'm thinking in my own heart, that as he was traveling that track as that prisoner, he was purposing in his heart. And he knew where he was going. He understood what he was going. He was going to a restless culture. He was going to a wicked world. But he had a purpose of heart. Because it says in verse 8, it says, "But Daniel, though they changed his name, though he gave them another name, though they were trying to give him this portion of meat," it says that, "but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself for the portion of the king's meat." Young people, if you're in the midst of a restless culture this morning, you're going to have to purpose in your heart. You're going to have to possess a goal. Because you're not going to be like I spoke of yesterday on the casual crisis. If you're running around in a casual crisis, you're going to lose out. Guaranteed. But unless you possess a goal. Daniel had to possess a goal. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. No matter the cost. He purposed his heart. Personal convictions. He settled in his heart what was truth before time. We can't do it in the midst of a restless culture or in a culture we live in. And we don't know which ends up and we have no idea what's going on. And we're going to try to place in our hands where my personal convictions are amidst that. It's going to be tough. Young people, purpose and make sure we know and settle in heart what is truth before we get into the situation. Daniel had to do that. And that's why Daniel was victorious. That's why he could stand before the king. That there was none like him because he had personal convictions. What is your personal convictions on the attribute of love? I appreciate Brother Joe's definition of hate. I agree 100% with him, and I think so many times the older people don't understand what hate is. And we're in this restless culture. They don't understand that there is a lack of a little bit of love for another brother, that it's hate. It's not love. What is your conviction of love? How much are you going to do for love? Look at Jesus. How did Jesus love? How did Jesus love Judas Iscariot that betrayed him? He loved him to the very end. He loved him until he said, I'm going to identify him with the sop that he takes up. And that sop in those days was the portion of the bread or whatever it was. It was a portion to give to the most honored guest at that house. That was Jesus. He gave it to the most honored guest and he said, one more time I'll try to win Judas's heart. That's God, that's Jesus' love. That's how far Jesus went in loving Judas Iscariot. But Judas still rejected Jesus, even though Jesus went as far as he could. And Jesus said, what thou doest, do thou quickly. He went out into the night. What is your conviction of love? What is your conviction of respect? What is your conviction of submission? What is your conviction of truth? If you settled it in your mind, young people, you'll make it. You'll make it. Even though our daddies and mothers are fighting. Even though your daddies and mothers are squabbling and don't have peace, you can make it. But you're going to have to purpose in your heart. You're going to make it. Daniel had to do it. Daniel understood that he couldn't compromise. In Daniel chapter 8, verse 8 and verse 12, where they gave this king's meat. He had purposed in his heart that he could not defile himself with this king's meat. He would not compromise. He says in verse 12, he says to Melzar, he says, Melzar, would you please just give me a little time? Will you please give me just 10 days, prove thy servants, and just give me herbs and water to eat. I can't take that portion of meat. Why couldn't he? Because he knew what daddy and mother felt. He knew what Moses, the prophets, and the judges back there in Israel understood. They understood what it was to partake of the meat that was offered to idols. And they couldn't do it. They weren't allowed to do it. And Daniel knew he couldn't do it. He wasn't going to compromise and say, Brother Joe's not here. Brother Joseph's not here. The preachers aren't here. I can do it. Daniel wouldn't compromise. He says, just give me herbs and water. How did he know he was going to fare fatter and better flesh? He didn't. He was just purposing his heart. He had convictions. And he stood on his convictions. He would not compromise. Young people, compromise has no stopping point. Compromise has no stopping point. There's no stopping point to compromise. We must have personal convictions. We'll not compromise. Number three. Stability in a restless culture isn't affected by peer pressure. Daniel chapter 1, verse 6. Now among these were. Who's the these? So many times we think that Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were the only four boys that came from Jerusalem. Wrong. I don't know how many. It doesn't say. It just says these. I'm minded that there was a bunch more there. And I think there was a whole host of more. It could have been four individuals, four people among this crowd of Bible school students. And the rest took the portion of the king's meat. Stability in a restless culture isn't affected by peer pressures. Man is prone to fall. Man is prone to fall. Now I realize I'm a leader. We have some leaders up in the front benches here. These are human. They want to do what God's way is right. And maybe you're in the midst of a restless culture and you're finding there's division among this front bench. God help us. They're human. They're full of stress. I know what it's like. So I'm working with a congregation right now that I'm not sure where to go with it. I'm almost up to my head. Why can't they get along? I've lived in our congregation for years. We had some sandpaper conflict. We had some things and we had some dealings to go through. But as a general, we were at peace. And it's not because of me. It's because of my previous leaders, I believe, that have laid a foundation. But they're prone to fall. They're full of stress. And sometimes they can't make decisions correctly. And they want to do the way God wants them to do. But they're human. It's not because of peer pressure. Following others, you will be disappointed. If you follow a man, you're going to find yourself disappointed. Daniel didn't follow men. Daniel respected men. Daniel respected his kings, his judges. He respected them. His priest, he respected them. Psalms 118 verse 9 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Psalms 147:6 verse 3 says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man in whom there is no help. Paul says, Paul was a leader. Paul was an apostle. Paul traveled all over the country preaching, setting up churches. But what was his testimony? Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Then you can follow a man, but you're not following a man. You're following the Christ that he follows. There's a difference. There's a whole world of difference. That's not peer pressure. That's because Christ is Lord of his life. Daniel didn't go with the majority. Daniel, can we say, stood alone with his three friends. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meat, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Young people, you find yourself in a restless culture. To run is not the answer. To walk where God wants us to walk is the answer. to run and find another doctrine. So if this is the way the Mennonites want to operate and this is the way they want to go, forget it. I'm out of here. It's not the answer. It's not the answer. The answer is a relationship with God that I'm not going to run, but I'm going to follow what God wants me to go, even though I'm alone. Point number four. Stability in a restless culture is a quality of faith. That's found in verse 12 and verse 13. As Daniel said, prove thy servants and give us pulse to eat and water to drink. And try our countenance that we will look. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee and the countenances of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servant. He left it up to Melzar. He says, Melzar, just give me a little time. How did Daniel know that he was going to come out on the top end? I think he knew. But yet, it was a step of a quality of faith. A faith that here is where God wants me to be. And here's where I'm going to stand. Amidst that nobody else understands, I'm going to stand here. Daniel had no question that God was with him. That's faith. That's a quality of faith. He had no qualms that he was going to come out on top because of his faith in a holy God. Unbelief is instability. I believe Daniel understood how big God is. Do you understand how big God is? Do you see the magnitude of God? Brother David and I were talk after services every night, and we're talking about as this the big galaxy that is out there in the universe, and how big it is, and how comparison is to this little earth. And if you take this little earth and you think of this little earth as a little golf ball, and you place these golf balls in the state of Texas, one beside each other, and rows after row after rows, and that's how big the biggest galaxy is. That's beyond our comprehension. Is that how big you see God? Amidst a restless culture, that's stability. Because that's our faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 and 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 and verse 23. By faith, Joseph, when he died, make mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. By faith, Moses. I'm sorry, I'm not reading chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, I'm sorry, I'm reading at chapter 11. No wonder it didn't make sense. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart, a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Let us. And I put in beside that, let us is keep on. Holding fast the profession of faith. Where is your faith? Hang on. It's going to take work to hang on. But if we understand, young people, that unbelief is instability, we will hang on to this profession of faith. Faith is not feelings, young people. There's feelings there. But feelings are not first. It's faith. Faith is first. As we step out into that unknown, that's faith. It's not feelings. Because feelings won't go out there. But as we step out in faith, believing, a quality of faith, as Daniel stepped forth to that Melzar, knowing that Melzar said, if you don't take of this king's meat, my neck is accountable for. He said, the king will slay me. Daniel didn't move. Daniel understood how big God is, and he stepped out in faith and said, Melzar, give me a little time. Prove me, and I know we'll come out right. That's faith. That's not feelings. Feelings would say, I can compromise. We can't go down that street, young people, or we will find ourselves unstable. Point number five is stability in a restless culture is to have a relationship with a consistent, stable people of God. And we say, how do I do that amidst the church struggle? Where do I find the people of God? Well, if we have the first four points nailed down, we'll find them. I guarantee you'll find them. And I guarantee you'll find stability in surrounding yourselves amidst them. Daniel did it. Amidst this whole bunch of boys that came from Jerusalem to Babylon, he found security in three other people. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Notice it in chapter 2 of Daniel. Chapter 2 and verse 17 and verse 18. The king came came up from his bed at one night and had a dream, and he didn't know, have no idea what this dream was. We know what the story is. He knew it was a dream, but he had no idea what it was about. And he was bothered with this thing. And he couldn't figure it out, and so he calls all his magicians and astrologers in and tell them, if you don't find out what this, tell me what this dream's all about. He says, I'm going to get rid of you tonight, by the time tonight is. And they tried to figure out, King, how am I supposed to know if you don't tell me what it is? Am I mind readers? And they couldn't figure it out. And finally they came, and they understood, they heard of Daniel. And they came to Daniel. And they came to Daniel and said, Daniel, we have a problem here. I'm saying it in my own words. The king wants us to interpret this dream. And he says, and we have no idea what it's all about. Can you help us? What did Daniel say? Daniel says in verse 17. No, it's not 17. Daniel answered with the council and the wisdom of these kings, and went forth to slay the Babylonians. He answered and said unto them, "Where does it say that he said, give me a little time? I can't lay my eyes on it." But he said, "Give me a little time." And where did he go? Did he go up into that there closet, up into that room where he always goes three times a day, and he opens up that window to heaven, and there he poured out to the God of Israel, the God of Jerusalem, and he looked towards the east, and he says, God, you interpret this in dream for me. Is that what he did? No. It says here in verse 17, it says, and Daniel went to his house and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Daniel understood, as he as a young person was no powerhouse in himself. And young people, if we're going to think we're going to get through this restless culture situation and find stability in this, we're going to have to find somebody to consult in. We're going to have to find a companion that we can find help in. This is what Daniel did. Daniel understood he was no powerhouse in himself. He needed the help of his three friends. Stability in a restless culture is to have a relationship with a stable people of God. The proverb says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. We find ourselves young people, we find ourselves trying to get through this situation by ourselves. We're going to lose. I realize we can be out other places and God can be a great God. I understand that. But there's so much security. It says it through the scriptures over and over and over again. That it's, we surround ourselves with godly people. There's power there. We need each other. The enemy is out to destroy the church. Paul and Barnabas had a problem with strife over the circumcision in Acts chapter 15. And we see that whole host there and see how Apostle Paul and Barnabas took care of that strife. What did they do? They didn't take care of themselves. They got the council of the church. They went to the big ministers meeting back down there in Jerusalem. And there they solved it. and everybody was satisfied. We need each other. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says this, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." Fellowship is for cleansing. It says here, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. That's not what John said. John says that we have fellowship one with another, that ye may be healed. We bear one another's burden. Stability is fellowship with God's people as we find them. And you will find them, young people. But you're going to have to be diligent. You're going to have to understand the works of God. Point number 6. Stability in a restless culture is in humble submission to God's authority. And that also can come under God's delegated authority. But maybe we see God not operating in our delegated authority. God has set them over us. And we need to humbly submit to them, as Daniel did. Daniel understood the authority of God. God understood where his authority, where he needed to place himself in submission of. Even in that portion of the king's meat, he come in submission of that. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 10. And I realize this is prophecy, but I'm not going that direction. I just want to pull a point out of here. As Daniel was to see those things that were in the future things to come. Daniel chapter 10, verse 10 to verse 17. And behold, the hand. And behold, and hand touched me. Daniel kneeling down, falling on the ground. I don't have time to look at the whole story here. He touched me, and which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Daniel stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the princes of the kingdom of Persia withstood thee 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, that yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face towards the ground, and I became dumb. Daniel became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the Son of Man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like that appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the princes of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the princes of Gera shall come. Stability in a restless culture amidst where Daniel was is in humble submission to God's authority. Daniel was a man in charge now. Daniel was in full control of Babylon now. Daniel was in authority. But Daniel was humbled because of that authority, because of who he was under. Notice there that he finds himself trembling before God. He falls on his knees and he's speechless. In verse 12, where he says that this man told him not to fear, and because he first day he had set his heart to understand, to chasten thyself before thy God. Daniel chastened himself in humble humility before God in this responsibility that he had. But he was in submission, even though he was a man of understanding and wisdom. Even though he knew all this, yet here he found himself underneath of his authority. Philippians chapter 2 verse 10 said that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth. Verse 17 and verse 18 of this chapter shows that God does the strengthening. It's not in our own bootstraps, but as we come underneath and humbly submit to God's authority in our lives, and also God's delegated authority in our lives, though it be church leaders, though it be parents, though it be school teachers, though it be the authorities of the land, we in submission fall under that. Romans chapter 6. Turn with me to that. Romans chapter 6, the New Testament shares of this humble submission to God's authority. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 to verse 18. Know ye not that to whom ye yield your servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmities of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members service to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Whose servants do you obey? Who are you willing to submit to? Who are you willing to obey? Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submission to God's authority is stability. The last one, quickly. Is stability in a restless culture is being willing to suffer. Chapter 6, verse 4. I'm not going to take the time to read it. We know the story. Amidst what was going on, amidst that Daniel was in charge, amidst Daniel was in authority, there was opposition. How can we get this man condemned? How can we get this man out of our life? And they went around and trying to take counsel. And they got the king's authority that anyone that worships any other god than the king himself, he's thrown into the lion's den. Did Daniel flinch? No. Because he understood the first 6 points. Because Daniel had stability and knew where he stood in the first 6 points. In relationship with God, he had purpose in his heart. He had faith quality of faith. He had a relationship with the people of God. And he understood God's authority. And he could still, even though that proclamation was spelled across the country of Babylon, even though it was shouted across it, he didn't flinch. He still went up and he flung open those doors into the east and cried out to the God of Israel 3 times a day. culture was restless, but Daniel was willing to suffer because of stability. Because he knew who he served. If you're in the midst of a restless culture, you're in the midst of a church turmoil, young people, know where you stand. And find stability there. And you will stand. Even amidst, you might be. Might have to suffer. You might have to suffer. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, speaking to his faithful disciples, speaking to the ones that want to go out and be stable, find stability. He says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep amidst the wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware, beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council. They will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. For they testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how and what ye shall speak. For it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." Isn't that beautiful? And I can picture Daniel going to the mouth of that den without hardly a word to speak. I'm sure he shared how his love for God was, because the king understood where Daniel stood. And we hear in the story that the king was so appalled that he made this rule, but he had to follow through it because he knew where Daniel stood. Why he didn't think about that before, I don't know. But he went to that mouth suffering. He didn't prepare his words. He didn't prepare for those lions. He didn't put on all the clothes he had so that the lions wouldn't chew him up. He went in faith. What does the cross of Jesus mean to you? Are you ready to suffer for your stand of truth? Because you have a relationship with God, this is truth. And we go by this truth, and I am blessed so many times that I find a young man and a young sister that's stable amidst a crisis. It's pretty often that God puts them up on the front bench because of their stability. God sees stability and he's willing to suffer for it, and he's willing to go through the whole thing and find himself stable. Young people, will you be a Daniel and go to the lion's den? Because, first of all, I have a relationship with God. Secondly, I purposed in my heart. Thirdly, I had a faith. Fourthly, I had a relationship with a people of God. Fifthly, I had submission to God's authority. And lastly, I'm willing to suffer for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. In closing, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Some more truths in the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. 2 Timothy, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 says, "Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance." Apostle Paul telling to Bishop Timothy, "I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given you" what? "A spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, for the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Shall we kneel for prayer?